We met with the employer last week for a couple of sessions, and in those discussions, we said to the employers that they need to put the pink slips on hold while talks continue, and that they need to withdraw their massive concessions package because it's just so out of the ballpark. They refused to do that on Thursday, and this is why we're announcing the strike vote today.
What kind of concessions were they asking?
Well, every part of the collective agreement, essentially, it's designed to strip the collective agreement. Wage rollbacks of up to 16%, cuts in vacation entitlement, cuts in sick leave. Actually, they want workers to come to work and sick, essentially, because if you don't, if you use your sick leave, you suffer a 25% cut in your pay. They want to give employers the right to cut hours of a healthcare worker by 20% every year. They want to strip the other protections that we have that allow the experienced workers to stay while more junior workers, if there are to be downsizing, in fact leave. So there's a whole range of contract rollbacks which have the effect of hurting healthcare workers, but in addition, harming the public nature of healthcare and harming the healthcare system. Instead, there are ways and solutions that we have to make healthcare better and more effective. Well, we've put forward proposals, for example, to renew the Joint Provincial Occupational Health and Safety Agency, which is one that has reduced the injury rates in healthcare and saved the healthcare system $51 billion over the last 2 years. They're balking at renewing that. We put forward proposals that will have us sit down and work through problems and challenges that we have in the workplace. It's called enhanced consultation or cooperation in trying to improve the system. They rejected that. That is part of the attack on our collective agreement, both with the legislation, but also with their refusal to talk about recognizing the importance and value of frontline workers and the kinds of solutions that we can come up with, because we know what's right and what works, and we also know what's wrong and what's wasteful. And we want to sit down and work those things out at the local hospital or local long-term care facility, and healthcare employers don't seem interested in doing that.
What's to stop the government from continuing layoffs and replacing HEU workers at the pace that they have?
What's to stop them is essentially the strong strike mandate that we expect and the work that we have done and will continue to do with communities around the province to point out the stupidity of it and the very short-sighted nature of it. That's what we want to do through this process. Clearly, we want a collective agreement, but we want a collective agreement only if it's achieved in a climate that can be productive. And you can have a productive set of bargaining while issuing 2,500 pink slips or tabling these outlandish, out-of-the-ballpark concessions.
Is there LRB rules against this? Are you thinking about going in that direction? I mean, it's not very often you hear about negotiations underway on layoffs.
Starting at the same time. No, it's not. That's unfortunately a uniqueness in this round of bargaining, which is why we are going to our members for a strike mandate.
Usually, you wait until your contract is over. Your contract is not over?
No, our contract expires at the end of the month, by March 31st, and by that date, we will have a strike mandate.
So, and what will you do on that day then?
Well, we're hopeful that the strike mandate and the work that we're going to be doing over the next few weeks persuades the government and healthcare employers to do the right thing, which is put those pink slips on hold and come back to the bargaining table in a climate that's free from intimidation. That's the best solution, that's what we want, and that's why we say at the same time as calling for a strike vote, we are also saying that we're prepared to bargain at any point, as long as that bargaining takes place in a climate that can be productive, namely a climate that doesn't have intimidation and doesn't have those massive rollbacks.
How will a strike vote mandate, Jackie, help you?
Well, I guess my own personal satisfaction would be that it would see, hopefully, a return to productive bargaining. And, I don't know that it'll exactly help my situation personally, but I'd be pleased to see us be able to get a collective agreement that other folks might not have to go through the same thing that I'm now going through.
Well, Now, you mentioned that you're not allowed to visit your the people that you used to look after.
Mm-hmm. It's a decision of the employer.
So you can't say that you're a friend of these people, or you've been blocked from this?
The employer believes that it will ease the transition for the residents to not have us on site, I guess, confusing their you know, having their former friends and family members, i.e. the staff there, while they're trying to bring in new people.
So all the staff that used to work there have now been banned from this care home?
I understand that perhaps a couple of the staff may have accepted employment with the new contractor, but the remaining staff have been told that if they wish to come on the premises, they must have special permission from the administrator.
How many of the 43,000 workers would be considered essential service, and how does that work with parts of the hospital?
That varies from workplace to workplace. So it ranges from, in some occupations, 10% are considered essential, to some long-term care facilities where virtually or most of the care staff are considered essential. It varies. I guess on average, it's about half of the workforce in general is considered essential.
So the hospital itself and every case would not actually shut down?
That's absolutely the case. We're committed to providing essential services for patients and residents that we're taking care of, and we will do that. We also have a legal obligation to do that, but separate from our legal obligation, we also have a moral obligation that we will adhere to.
Do you have any doubt that this strike vote will be large?
Talking with members, they're very angry. They've had 2 years of intimidation, cuts, told on the one hand that their collective agreement is shredded, and on the other hand, since they have a collective agreement, they can't take strike action. So our members are very angry.
And do you have any doubt that you'll be going on strike?
I hope not. I hope health employers and government see the value of reaching a solution-based way forward, because our public health care is under tremendous strain right now. It needs solutions. We've got some, and we can have some productive discussions in order to produce those solutions. So I'm hopeful, I continue to hope, and so do our members, that we can persuade health employers and government to actually sit down and have productive talks.
Are any talks scheduled in the future?
Not at the moment. As I say, we our offer of sitting down, if the intimidation ends and we have a climate of productive discussions, our offer is there, and we'll see if the employer takes that up. We will continue with our strike vote, but we are prepared to sit down and negotiate at the same time.
How long will the strike vote take?
A couple of weeks. We'll start probably on the 15th of March and finish up by the end of the month.
And all over the province?
All over the province. 43,000, that's probably 300 separate work sites, separate locals, and that's why it takes a little bit of time. Anything more? Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.
Thank you again for coming.